Help me find my way through rig all through cross. Help me find my way, cause I'm lost. Lord, I'm lost. The preacher man, he cried when he saw two soulless eyes. Said Christ, he up and died for my lies, for my lies.
All right, this is a special occasion because Splitlip Rayfield is here with a brand new record, and it's called I'll Be Around, and we have all three members, Mr. Eric Martis, Mr. Wayne Gossenstein, and Mr. Jeff Eaton. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Richard.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. So we're excited to have you in here. You're about to go head out on a little tour this weekend. You're going to Columbia tonight. You're going to Chicago. Probably one of your favorite places to play, am I right, up there in Chicago?
Yeah.
I like going to Chicago.
Or do you just hate Chicago and I totally misled you?
No, I like Chicago plenty.
Used to be Bloodshot Records band, so that probably helps a little bit when you guys go up there.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's been a long time. We've been playing in Chicago, so I think that probably factored in at some point. Still play there.
Cool. So you guys going to be busy this fall? You got a bunch of shows coming up or what?
I have a moderate amount of shows for the fall. It's probably be a little bit busier next year. Have a handful of shows for the rest of the year. Try to kick it up a little bit more next year.
When did you actually put out the record? I guess you kind of printed up 500 copies here. They have numbers on the back of them. And tell us a little bit about this thing.
Well, it's, I guess, officially out now. It's been more of a soft release.
Mm-hmm.
I printed up 500 of those kind of pre-copy ones. And then up the official mass-produced ones.
Mm-hmm. Played at like the Crossroads in Kansas City a little while ago, and probably sold some there. And I mean, what's the plan for this sucker?
Well, we did those 500 for that Crossroads show and a Colorado tour, and then whatever the other thing was that we just did before the official one comes out. But so yeah, this was just kind of a stopgap and for Winfield, and it's fun to, Jeff did a great job handprinting them, and this is kind of, we've done that on all of our records actually, it's done like a short pre-release. But then once it comes out, we're going to start touring it and promoting it and getting it out there. So.
You look like you're about to fall asleep as you're saying these words, Eric.
Yeah, I'm told that often.
He's the sleepiest Rayfield.
How many kids?
I've got three kids.
All right, so you're allowed to be the sleepiest,
yes.
Rayfield.
Get up early.
Well, let's tune in a little more here.
Now, some folks, they don't like it when you're winning. Now, some folks, they don't like it when you're sinning. Now, some folks, they don't like a goddamn thing. It's all the same, it's all the same. Just don't listen to the words they're saying. They tell you that they'll pray for you while praying. When they can't hear the angels when they sing, it's all the same, it's all the same.
Is that one of your tracks, Wayne?
That is, it's all the same.
Metaphorically speaking,
that's
or
the title of it.
Oh, right.
It's, called, okay. It's all the same.
I wasn't sure where to go with that exactly.
You should have read the back of the record, Richard.
Oh, I was reading it, and I heard it, and I recognized your voice.
And you yeah. looked right through it. Went in one eye and out the other.
Poker face every time. Yeah, tell us about that one, All the Same. Is that a commentary on politics or sports or...
It's a song about outer space.
Outer space. I figured no, that's where you're going with that one.
Just one of those songs. My wife was wanting a song, so I wrote her a song.
Is that where they all come from?
No, it varies. Some songs you labor over them for years, and some songs they come out in 10 minutes. That one came out quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's a simple little song.
Are you guys all contributing to songwriters? Is there a pretty equal split amongst here? What's the...
Just those two guys.
Yeah. Mostly Eric and Wayne doing the songwriting. And all things told, how many songs are on this new record here?
12.
I'll be around. All right, cool. So tell us, did you guys go down to Winfield just recently?
I did.
I went to Winfield. It was a very different Winfield because it was flooded out and everyone camped at the lake instead of the fairgrounds. So while it was an excellent camping adventure, it wasn't so great as far as jamming with people you only get to play with once a year. So it was so spread out and everyone's camp was dislocated and nothing was where it was.
I think I saw Wayne twice the whole time I was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And was there a stage 5 and 7 still, or was
Yeah, they saw those gone.
Yeah. And did you guys perform down there or just hang out? No, I guess if Martis did.
I didn't go.
Yeah.
Had to.
Sleeping.
I had to work and herd children and, I practiced banjo 10 hours a day, so that...
Yeah.
That
at least 10 hours.
Yeah.
You've been coming over to my house secretly while I was away.
Yeah, I guess my banjo's been sitting at Jeff's house for 2 weeks, so that's not true, but air banjo I practice all the time.
So what did this mean for you guys to put out this record? It's been a little while since you put out your last one.
It's been really good to add new songs to the set list, mix it up a little bit, and we've been performing as a three-piece now for about a year, I think.
Yeah.
And so it was just songs started just to come out, and so we started kicking them around and figuring out what to do with should we stick with just mandolin, banjo, and bass, or start playing some guitars. And then we decided on the record Wayne would play guitar on his songs and I would play guitar on mine, and so that was really fun. I think we just needed to, get into that creative space as songwriters, and because we play shows and that's fine, but it feels really good to have a new record and we're all really proud of it. I think I speak for everyone in that.
I'm quite happy with how the record turned out.
Mm-hmm. Any new directions that you hear as you listen back to this, or things you're particularly proud of?
I think it's like the most melodic one, and the song crafting is good and really diverse on it. And I think it might be the first time we've actually done a heavy metal song.
No kidding.
Yes.
Which one is that?
The High Price of Necromancy, Eric's song.
All right, we'll be hearing that one in just a little bit, so stay tuned. That's the teaser. Currently, we are wrapping up a track called Aces High, and this next one is Heart of Darkness.
Down by the quarry, I watched you jumping, chewing down on the water and back up again. All by the lonesome with no one around. The next day in the paper, I read how she'd drowned. Staring into the sun, and my soul is hardened. Nothing can illuminate this heart.
Sound you hear there is Jeff, who couldn't resist tapping his fingers on the table. That got that bass beat blowing through his veins. How's that old Stitch Giver holding up, Jeff?
It's doing pretty good. 14 years old this summer.
14 years.
Still going.
Do you have a birthday party?
No, not really.
Maybe
next year it'll be 15 in August.
How is puberty affecting your
it's
instrument?
It's doing okay, but it's getting starting to get some new hairs in some weird spots. It's making it a little.
It's pretty
self-conscious.
Sassy.
It's pretty surly. Yeah.
A little rebellious, maybe.
Yeah, it has been quite rebellious.
Yeah, it's just a phase. I'll get over it. College, you got a college fund set up?
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, hopefully this tour this weekend will help. So yeah, I mean, gosh, how long has it been since Split Lip started? Let's get reflective here for a moment.
Well, I guess it would be about 14 years ago, really, because it was shortly after I had made the bass that Kirk and I started learning some songs together and then hooked up with Dave, and it would have probably been November or December of 94.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
Is this something you guys would have seen last in 14 years?
No.
No.
I was just kind of building something to plunk around on at home for fun, and it just sort of...
You mean the bass or the band?
The band.
Ah. The bass I could see lasting forever because I thought it would just be like a conversation piece. When I first saw it come out of the back of his van, I was like, uh-huh. Like...
Awesome.
Hey there. Like, Mr. Haney had pulled it out of the back of a feed truck. But that... It's quite the instrument, though. I'm impressed.
And the band.
Still. The band, yeah, I wouldn't have seen that lasting either. Honestly. But I'm glad it has, and it's just had a weird life of its own. As we've taken breaks, and, Wayne and I have both taken sabbaticals away from the band before, and it just keeps drawing us in. Not mm-hmm. out of any other reason than it's fun and it calls to us. It just naturally happens. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are all so busy. I mean, you always have little other projects happening just for fans of Split Lip. What else are you guys up to?
Well, I play in a rock band called the Sluggos. I've been playing with Freddie Johnston lately.
No kidding. Is he back in Kansas or what?
He's in Wichita, actually. We have a bunch of shows at this bar in October.
That's really cool. Is it just going to be his name or?
Just me and him. We both have names.
Me and him.
Like she and him.
It's going to be. Yeah, we're going to call it me and him. Freddy, me and him. No. Just some little dive bar shows.
That's what he wants. Right. That's his next big career step, dive bar shows.
I guess so.
I guess he's probably been playing a lot of those his whole life, but well, cool. That sounds cool. I mean, I guess I see bands around town that says members of Split Lip Rayfield, and I guess I was just wondering what those were.
Yeah, there's the Eric Martis group.
Yeah.
Snakebite.
Who all is in that?
Snakebite is me and Calvin Bennett and Ryan Johnson, and those shows have been really fun lately.
Are you guys thrashing, or what are you doing?
Kind of. It's still kind of a big potpourri of everything. I mean, it leans towards heavy stuff, and all the guitar solos are like 8 minutes long, and there's lots of them.
Only 8 minutes.
I mean, it's a ridiculous overstatement of everything, which is really fun. So it jumps around with genres, mostly heavy stuff, and then Floyd the Barber's still going, and I play with the Hearers every once in a while, and
but enough about those bands. We're talking about Split Lip Rayfield.
This is the Necromancy song right now.
We better get into this.
You can animate the skeleton. Is that the best that can be done? Scrolls you write are pathetic. Battles lost and never won. Of questions there are many. Of answers there is only one. The price is too high, too high. Draw your lines and boy.
your bones. Take inventory of your humble home. And as you take in what you see, was it worth the price? Was it worth the price? The high price. The high price of
eternity.
There you have it. James Hetfield produced The High Price of Necromancy.
I wish.
If you're out there, James. No, seriously, though, The High Price of Necromancy, what's that all about?
Oh, I don't know. It's a silly song, really.
I wasn't picking up that vibe.
No, I've written... As a songwriter, just certain stuff comes out, and that's like one in a kind of a series of tunes that have kind of been informed by my youthful indulgence in role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons and fantasy novels and stuff like that. So it's really kind of an argument about how it's not worth it to pursue necromancy because... you don't end up being very powerful, and there's a lot of bad side effects, like cosmetically, and so, yeah, don't do it.
For those not familiar with the practice of necromancy, perhaps you could share a little bit.
Right, well, it's different than necrophilia, although they're not mutually exclusive, I don't think. I think necromancers are probably into that because they're lonely, I assume. But a necromancer is someone who dabbles in raising the dead, animating, dead tissue, skeletons and zombies and that sort of thing, and maybe the occasional curse, cursing a farmer's crops or something like that. They're usually kind of a minor magical force.
Now, the book I'm reading now, The Visitor, there's the necromancer Hedman gone, and all his spells, he needs a victim, and he uses their parts, but he can't kill them because the spell works off the pain of the victim.
Nice.
In other words, just giving the people what they want to hear. I mean,
I think everyone can relate to The High Price of Necromancy.
I think you had that contest on MySpace, which was, what do you want Splitlip Rayfield to write a song about? And by and large, the number one answer was necromancy.
Exactly.
What other topics are covered on this record?
Loneliness, personal suffering, joblessness.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Hmm. Yeah. Normal, happy, family stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Joblessness. Bummer. Economy.
Drug abuse.
No, you're just being...
Bush.
Wrestling. Kimbo slice.
Let's just assume you're talking about George W. there.
Yes.
Okay. That's good.
Not the band. Or the, you know, I know what you were talking about, you filthy Richard Gintat.
Hey, let's listen to some more music.
All in, it's too bad you won't be around. Cause I'm falling, yes I'm falling. It's too bad you won't be around. Wine.
Hobo Love Song is the name of that one. Any of you actually have experience in the art of hoboing?
I am actually a 10th level hobo.
Jeff is a 10th level hobo. I'd say anybody who's traveled with the band for any amount of years has a certain amount of hobo qualities to them. Just no way you can get around it.
And, I'm sorry, Eric?
We've just been working on these hobo levels for a long time, but Jeff did ascend to the 12th level. Just how did you get to the 10th level?
We won't go into that. Actually, I got to the 10th level.
10th level.
That's how I got to the 10th level. You don't want, if you get to the 12th level.
Go ahead and tell that story,
though.
Then
that's when you're graduating. Well, no, we shouldn't talk about how I got to the 10th level, but it's very unsavory business.
Are we talking about hoboing or Scientology?
Hoboing.
Okay.
Stay away from those Scientologists.
So you guys still tour like you did 14 years ago, or are you laid back a little bit?
Well, we played for more than 5 people now. That's good.
That's wonderful.
14 years ago was kind of slim pickings.
Yeah. How have people followed you over the years? Has it remained consistent, or when you head out on the road now, is there some concern of people still, following you guys, showing up to shows and all that? Have you had a pretty faithful following? It seems easy around here. Mm-hmm. You seem to have great shows in Lawrence and in Kansas City. But what about when you head out there?
Well, I think it's been real consistent. I mean, people come and go, but there's always new faces, too. I mean, shows have been getting bigger in those places where we're really strong, like, the places where we're really strong. Those keep getting bigger. And
everywhere.
Yeah, well, exactly. Worldwide. But, I think people are going to... There was a long time where I didn't go to Metallica shows. But... I don't know why I'm front, but like, you fall in and out of stuff, and people are going to come and go, and if Johnny doesn't show up to the show in Chicago,
maybe Billy will.
Fuck.
Then you send him a mean MySpace message.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just ban him from our MySpace page.
Speaking of Metallica, what do you think of the new record?
I like it. I think it's the best thing they've done since Ant Justice for All. And it's just because I'm so starved for it. I wanted them to do good, and they've not for a long time. So.
Yeah, my brother got me to listen to it. I listened to it all day yesterday. I think it's good, too.
Yeah, I'm going to the show.
Right on.
I'm down.
Right on. It's no Saint Anger, but no.
I mean, it's not Master of Puppets, either. It's good. It's a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm.
A step backwards in the right direction.
There's some... I mean, that's one of those bands that I would... Even as far down the hole as they went, I could never completely say that band sucks, because I wouldn't even be into any of this shit if it wasn't for Master of Puppets.
So if Metallica had their off phase there for a while, when is Split Brayfield gonna hit its phase? When people are gonna be like, oh man, these guys.
I need some more mink coats.
I guess, when are you going to jump the shark is what I'm asking. We're all waiting for you guys to jump the shark.
Spring 2010.
Okay. And how is that going to happen?
Well, we'll don our leather jackets, sit on the dock, take off on our skis, and just jump the shark. Just like the Fonz.
Just like the Fonz. Is. Yeah.
Did you see that episode of the Fonz jumping the shark?
I don't think I've seen any episodes, actually.
Man, if you're going to use the phrase jump the shark, you got to go to the source, man.
Oh, yeah.
You got to YouTube it.
Okay. I think I have heard of it, this episode you speak of.
And now. Thank you.
So you guys talk amongst yourselves during that one. Any particular thoughts on this song?
Oh, I was just, it's funny, sometimes when you record something and then you listen to it a bunch of times after it's recorded, you come up with new harmonies, and I was listening to that song in the car. I have harmonies that won't make it to the record, and so won't make it to the stage, but I was just that blabbing.
How much did you allow these songs to, develop once you put out a record? You know, do you futz around with them much? You know, once have you ever rewritten your older material or anything like that?
Well, Wayne and I usually take different solos. It's pretty rare for us to play the same solo, and we mess around with tempo or phrasing and stuff like that.
But just to appease the jam band crowd.
Slow evolution.
You gaze out into the audience to see how many jam band kids are.
I can't gaze out because I'm twirling all the time. It's hard for me to gaze out. If I stop and gaze out, then I'll fall over.
Exactly, and there's all the pyro and all the timing cues for that.
Mm. So I've got Jimmy tapes off this little masking tape area of where I can spin, and I just spin in that little area with my wireless headset microphone, and I just spin.
There's no wireless headset microphones, are there?
Oh, sure there are.
I see through your charade.
We're going to get the ones that are integrated into cowboy hats, actually, and I think that's a better look.
I don't think you guys have ever actually worn cowboy hats on stage, though, have you?
Wayne has.
I did. I wore some cowboy hats, man. Kirk would just say, come on, wear this hat, man. I got these hats. Wear these hats. Wear the hat, man. Come on, man. Wear it. It used to happen all the time.
I noticed you have a photo gallery for Kirk up on the website now, kind of like a memorial photo thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, I don't know. We just wanted to share some of the funnier pictures and just good pictures, and everyone likes to see that. And people have submitted a bunch of pictures, which is really cool, and we love that when people send pictures. And so we want to add a bunch more, actually, to that gallery and all the galleries on the website. So,
how did his memory presence play into this record?
I missed him a lot while we were in the studio and in the whole writing process, and just thinking about how things would play out in whatever situation were he here, because he was a pretty strong personality. So, yeah, I missed him a lot. I felt like he was definitely present to me.
Yeah, definitely so. I think it affected the way we attacked making this record. I mean, we didn't fuck around at all. We were just...
gave it a very Rundstrom approach.
Every day, just hammering it down. And, you know, and I think the playing turned out fantastic. It was some of the best bass tones ever. And Eric played some kick-ass banjo on it. Just thought we all put it together pretty well. Worked really hard on it.
Cool. You still do his songs when you play shows, right?
Actually, we don't. Hmm. And not to say that we won't at some point, but I don't know. I don't think any of us are really ready for that or feel that it's... I don't know. You know, there'll be a point maybe when people always yell for Outlaw still and we don't play it. But it doesn't mean that we won't at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody should, it would be us, I would imagine. But, you know, I just feel like I'm not quite ready.
Cool. Any other thoughts on that, other guys?
I don't think the studio was really... no one really knew what it was going to be like until we were actually there doing it. And it was definitely different, but just kind of took it for what it was and went with it.
Well, we're kind of actually getting towards the end of the record here, and let's see, this one that we're hearing right now is number 12, which means it's probably the last song, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll Be Around. Any kind of introduction you give to this song?
I don't know. It's just to be taken as it was written. It's one of the sadder tunes I've ever written. It's not tongue-in-cheek at all, and I don't know. It is what it is.
We will meet again, but remember, if you need me, I'll be around. I'll be around. I'll be around. I'll be
have it.
There it is.
Indeedly do.
Sounds like a great record, and I look forward to hearing it while I'm not talking over it.
Yeah, if you put that record in with your other records, it'll melt your other records.
I don't even have a record player, so.
At the very least, it'll give them crabs.
It's probably more like it.
Well, fellas, that seems like an appropriate place to wrap this up. Thanks for coming in, and any future plans you want to give us the heads up on for this fall? Are you going to do the New Year's show?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure we'll play New Year's show in Lawrence again. I'm not sure of all the details yet, but we're doing a bunch of, we're going to finish out this year kind of where we're at, and then hit it hard in 2009 with this record, and maybe put out something again. I don't know. We're kind of, I think, on a creative push right now. Maybe we'll have an EP or another record fall of next year. I'd like to keep the ball rolling and not have it be 4 years between records ever again. So
right on. Well, seems like you got maybe a couple more years in you before you jump that shark.
God willing.
God willing. Spoiler Brayfield. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for
having us.